Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Excited Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Success Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Success Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus as we get ready to pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, someone with a 216 number. If they want to put the number one, they could speak after a little bit. We also have Brother Six and just me.
All right. Our other 216 number there. What's the first three digits after the 216, Ray?
278.
Okay, 278. 216, 278. If you wish to speak, just press the number one. We'll be glad to hear from you. We'll take your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of that thing here. That is what this time is for, right here before we get started. So if you wish, press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to have your prayer requests, what have you. But first, we'll start with Brother Six.
Well, good evening. Good evening, Wolfgang, Ruthie Wolfgang, First Lady. Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Beautiful evening. Everybody's having, we're going to have a great time here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. But first, the Six Eyes Radio Network want to send its condolences out to the people of Baltimore for the bridge collapse, the Francis Scott Key bridge that collapsed. So we want to send our condolences to the families, the lives lost, construction workers, the people who lost their lives on the bridge. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to the families affected by that. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're sending our deepest condolences. Also praying for the world, mankind, my family, my friends, your friends, praying for increase, praying for success for us all. With that, I'm complete. God bless.
Amen. All right, Ruth, your turn.
Yeah, I just praying for Emily still, and I got a backache tonight, but that's nothing you guys have to worry about. The Lord will take care of it. I'm just a little sore. But I've still got a good attitude and still, you know, thumbs up and the toes up thing. So, you know, I just praise the Lord and have a good time anyway.
Amen. And speaking of which, Six, we didn't get your medal tonight.
Yes, excuse me. And also, I want to send out condolences to the Jenkins family on the passing of Mark Jenkins. So condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. That was a good friend of mine who grew up with, was actually a friend of my older brother, but his sister, Melinda, we were close in age. And it's like, it's funny because the last time I saw her, I was telling her about my sister and her cancer, and he just passed away from lung cancer. So we just want to send out condolences to the Jenkins family from the Six Eyes Radio Network. My mental is thumbs up, and two paws up for trumpet. We have to love our loved ones while they're here, because we're all items on the menu, Wolfgang. Your favorite sandwich, your favorite drink, your favorite french fry, we are all items on the menu. And once that item is gone, you can't say, oh, that item's gone. Well, when you have your friends around, enjoy them, because once they're gone, they're gone. With that, I'm complete.
Amen, amen. You are so right on that point. And so with that, I'm just going to give my prayer request real quick here. I've got two thumbs up. I'm doing great tonight. And just, of course, be praying for the situation over Israel. Pray for Tim Groover. Pray for our listener over in Scotland, Maggie Balfour. Pray for all of our military. Pray for all our country's leaders. They seek after God, not after man. Pray for all our medical workers, our military, our first responders, all the sick and shut in, and the lost in general, especially a soul who is nearest hell, that they'd reach out and reel up the white flag, surrender tonight. And, of course, the Six Eyes Radio Network, all the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, the Blind Ministry, their ongoing need for a bus so that we could get out there and do the work God called us to do. And we just want to be praying for, of course, Emily, her mom, and all of these needs that has been brought up tonight. Amen. Okay, did our listener decide to press the one, Ruth?
No, maybe they'll do it after the show.
Okay. Well, with that, all right, we are going to get you, Ruth, to give us an opening prayer, and we'll go ahead and get into our show tonight.
Well, dear Lord, be with all the requests that were mentioned. You know what they all are. And since I'm the old ladies here, I probably will forget somebody, so I think it's better off just let you do it. And just be with everybody in over the 150 countries and whatever their needs are, too. And we just love and praise your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we got a good show in store for you tonight. We got, of course, great gospel songs for you to listen to, a little Southern country-type gospel songs. Then, of course, we've got our message that is being highlighted from the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website. You could go right there to get your own free copy. All you got to do is go on holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Once you do that and you click enter and you're on our homepage, click the sermons link. Once you've done that, click the holiness link. And then once you do that, you'll come down with a list there on that page and of different titles. And one of those titles will read The Bitter Cup. That's talking about, obviously, coming with what we got coming up here about Christ and the bitter cup that he had to deal with. So that's the title you'll want to click. So click The Bitter Cup. And, of course, the page will pop up there that tells you all about the message. And, of course, right on there is a download link. When you click that, you will automatically be able to download the sermon totally free, no charge, not one red cent, totally completely free. But on the page is also, for your convenience, a love offerings link. And if you click that to give a love offering, it will take you to our secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and we would appreciate that. Amen. And then after that, we have Tim Gruber still trying. He's doing a great job at that. So far, he's only missed one. He is pushing right along, got his foot on the gas. He is right up there. He's going to be trying to see if he can beat you six and headed for Pastor Bonnet and Emily's spot with the song and poem. Does he continue with his foot on the gas? And then after that, Ruth will be up with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight?
United States of Europe. I think you guys will like it.
Okay, the United States of Europe. What does that have to do with Bible prophecy? So that's what we got to find out. What's that got to do with Bible prophecy in the end times? So you'll want to pay attention for that. Stay tuned. And then, of course, after that, we open up the mics once again for any of you who may have questions or comments on any of the messages that are presented. And then, of course, any prayer requests that we have missed. So did our caller decide to press the one, Ruth? We'll give him one more chance before we get started.
No, but I did have something I want to remember. Reverend Quick, I think, isn't he having something to do with his knees?
Yeah, he did want prayer, so we'll keep him in prayer. All right.
He had something to pray about, too, so we'll just pray for both of them.
Okay, so, well, here we go. Let's get into our songs and boogie for Jesus. Amen.
All right, sweetie.
In shady green pastures so rich and sweet, God leads to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country. We pray for rain and thank him when it's falling, cause it brings a crane and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate. I guess that's why they call it God's country. Dirt.
Shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you.
Pretty bad news we also find in Revelation 18. Revelation 22:18-19 says practically the same thing. You shall not add to the word, because the plagues will be added to you that are found in the book, nor shall you take away, or your place will be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. So you should not add, or take away from the words of the Lord. Found in our Six-Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2.
Thank you very much. This next song was written by a man right here in Folsom Prison. And last night was the first time I've ever sung this song. Anyway, this song was written by our friend Glenn Shirley. And hope we do your song justice, Glenn. We're going to do our best.
Thank you. Doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is super-powered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible, it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? To the widow and the orphan cry alone. I don't care if you pray for miracles. Don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you've said you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? And with all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers, do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me.
By my first name, and ever since
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Eshtubal Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You could also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. Hello there, dear listeners. This is Brother Timothy Gruber again, thanking you for your prayers. The Hebrew word for this week is the Hebrew word for good. And that word for good in Hebrew is tov. T, as in Timothy, O, V as in Victor, tov. It's the Hebrew word for good in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupted. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth tov, good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Verse 3, Psalm 14. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, Tob. No, not one. So again, Hebrew word for the wheat, Tob. T-O-V is Victor. It's the Hebrew word for good. Until next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the salvation of Jew and Gentile alike.
some 2,000 years ago. God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure. Oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was. Oh, praise him. What a friend he is to me. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Vestibule, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
I'm going to, when you go home, read, if you will, the 19th chapter of the part of the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And down in the 28th verse, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Hour after hour, Jesus had been hanging upon tender tendon, and round and round the cycle of suffering he had gone. Pain with his fire-shod feet had been racing across his nerve-wrecked body, until at last out between parched and swollen lips he cried, I thirst. The only ever thing he ever asked for in this world was a drink of water. And they ran and got a sponge and soaked it in vinegar and then put it to his lips. There might have been rushing rivers and placid lakes and costly wines for the rich, but for the master of ocean and skies there was only vinegar to insult. But when they placed that bitter cup to the lips of Jesus, they placed him in position to sympathize with every human being that would ever live in this world, no matter what the circumstance might be. It's silly for a person who's always been rich to say they can sympathize with the poor. Or for those who have always had health to say they can sympathize with those that are ill. Or for those who've never had any bereavement to say they can sympathize with those that are bereaved. It's all right if you've never had the experience to come along and slap a man on the back and say, cheer up, better days are ahead. But when Jesus took the bitter cup, placed him in a position to sympathize with every human being would ever live upon this earth, no matter what it might be. And I want to talk to you now for a few moments about the bitter cup. I'm going to talk, it's a very simple sermon. Most all of mine are. The old lady said, I love to hear you preach because you're such a simple preacher. I know what she meant, I was a simpleton or made things plain, but anyway. I think sometimes that preachers get I think they try to preach too big a sermon. My father used to tell me on the farm, always put the fodder down low in the rack where the little calves can get to it. I've heard a lot of preachers preach when I felt like they were putting it so high that only the ecclesiastical giraffes could ever get to it. Amen. Gypsy Smith Jr. said, his father said, never use more than a two-syllable word, but that will explain your meaning. So I never use any of these 16-cylinder, triple-jointed words. You wouldn't understand them. Maybe if I did, I could manufacture a few. Amen. Like when my boy was a little fellow, if he'd have come in one day and pulled a dead rat out of his pocket, and he might have done it. And I would say to him, William, my olfactory organs tell me that the rodent that you now have in your possession has, through some chemical compound or other, arrived at a high state of putrefaction. And I think it would be the height of wisdom to convey same hints. Why, he'd be nonplussed. But if I'd say, hey, kid, that's rotten, he'd grab his nose and scram, and that's what I said anyway. Let me talk about the bitter cup for a moment, number one. Number one is the cup of poverty, and that is a very bitter one indeed. Things have not always been at your house like they are this morning. Some of you, oh, everything's lovely now. Got television, home is paid for, got a good job, family's all well. You don't need anything. But some of you can remember when it was not thus. Some of you can remember the day when the wolf was scratching at the door. And when you were having a hard time to keep the little brood together, little mouths to feed, little shoes to buy, little dresses to mend, and sometimes you wondered if you were going to make both ends meet or not. And then one day, but listen, then on top of that, you sat down with your husband, your wife, you talked things over, your bridge there and you cut down here. And then arose discouraged. Then on top of that came a doctor's bill. The wages was gone, the job was gone, the bills piled up, and you threw up your hands and said, nobody understands. But there is one who understands. There is one who knows. There is one who knows. The cup of poverty, and I said, that's a bitter cup indeed. And if there's any people on this earth that ought to be thankful for their abundance, it's the people of this country. Oh, I get tired of these pinks and reds and so forth talking about this capitalistic government, this capitalistic system. If you don't like it, go where they don't have a capitalistic system, amen? And we'll sing praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, let me show you something. I was preaching one day in Dayton, Ohio, under a big tent one Sunday afternoon on the menace of communism, and I was nailing their red hides to the tent poles. And that night there came up a little piece of paper in the collection plate said, "You go to hell." I read it and said, "I'm not going to do it." I said, "If I'd come, you wouldn't be at home. And I don't care about your daddy." Listen, a lady said to me the other day, said, "We ought to stop sending food to these foreign countries and feed the starving people at home." Nobody's starving in this country. We throw in our garbage can more than people in other lands have to live on. We ought to thank God for our abundance. I remember in 1952 when I made my first trip to the Holy Land and going through the city of Damascus, a band of little children followed us from an Arab refugee camp out on the edge of the city. And going down the street of the city with their little stomach, distended stomach, not from an abundance of food, but from a lack of it, with little arms and limbs that looked like broom handles with skin stretched over them. And our guide said, "Don't give one of these children a piece of candy. They turn our car over in the street." I knew then what he meant when he said they followed him for the loaves and the fishes. I spent the night in the ancient city of Baalbek. And the next day and the next morning and early, I went down to view the ruins of the Temple of the Vestal Virgins. And the little boys and girls and men and women had the little camels and donkeys and so forth getting ready to go out for the day. And the little Arab boy came up with a little souvenir card in his hand and said to me, "He's selling little souvenir cards." He said, "Mister, take me to America. I'm a good boy. I'll work for you. I can never have anything here." You say, "Dr. Lakin, nobody cares." There's one who cares. Standing yonder, my friend, in the heavens, clothed with all the robes of riches, my friend, one day. He decided to lay aside those robes and take the robes of humanity and become a man. Become a man. And he did. He divested himself of all the robes of riches and came over the embattlements of heaven and down the golden stairway and came into this world by the way of a barn door and went out by the way of an old rugged cross. Sailed upon a borrowed boat, rode upon a borrowed beast. Went to a fish's mouth to get money to pay his taxes, buried in a borrowed tomb, and said, "The foxes have holes. And they have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And when he said that, it placed himself in position to sympathize with every cabin of poverty that ever exists in this world. Amen. And he would say, "I know." And then there is another very bitter cup, and that's the cup of betrayal. The cup of betrayal, and that is a bitter one indeed. Some of you listening to me, you had a lot of acquaintances, but you had a few friends. You don't have many friends. Friends don't come in bunches like bananas. They're made and not met. You had a few friends, but you had one that you especially relied on. You helped them. You helped them when they were in need. You loaned them money. You visited them. You helped them. You pointed with pride and said, "That's my friend." And then one day you heard of little whispers of something they'd said, and it hurt you. Then you said, "That can't be. That's my friend." And then you heard it again and again, and one day it became so real you had to take it into the realm of your realities, and you threw up your hands and said, "Isn't there anyone anywhere you can trust?" I imagine Dr. Farwell has had men that have come. He's helped. He's gone out of the way. He's done things for them, and then to find them turn against him. That's a bitter one indeed. I had it happen to me like that. Men that I helped, men that I got churches, men that I helped, and then they forgot me. And I'd go out someday and sit down and bawl, and one day he said, "Why are you crying?" He said, I had some friends once, 12 of them. They rode with me and watched me iron the wrinkles out of a raging water in a boot. They ate of a loaves and fishes, a boy's lunches I provided for them. They saw me raise the dead and open the eyes of the blind. They saw all of that, and yet one of them walked down across the little brook and over into the garden and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed me. He said, "One out of 12. He said, "You got as good a batting average as I have. What are you crying about?" So I don't let it bother me anymore. Listen, let me give you another one, my friend, and that's the cup of pain. Some of you listening to me haven't seen a well day for years, and you said, "Nobody knows." I went to see a little old lady one day sitting in a wheelchair. Her little hands were twisted like that, and her little feet were all twisted. She reached up her little hand and said, "Dr. Lakin, nobody in this world knows what I suffer." I said, "Honey, nobody in this world knows, but there's one in heaven that knows." Why? Because he had a body just like yours that got tired and had to sit on a well curb and rest and refresh itself. Had to go to sleep on a boat. He had a body just like yours, and he took that body of your infirmities. He took on the cross with him, and they nailed him to a cross. Round and round the cycle of suffering he went, until out between parched and swollen lips he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You say, didn't God love him? That's the only time he ever called the Father God. But God is not the father of the unsaved. So when he who knew no sin became sin, God thrust him out, pulled the curtain of darkness between himself and his son, and let him feel what it was to be left alone, the first time he'd been left alone since the morning stars sang together. And then dropped his chin upon his pulseless chest and said, "It is finished," and descended into hell. A preacher said the other day, hell is around you, and heaven's up and hell's down. That's what the Bible says, amen. And I believe what the Bible says. I don't believe what Dr. Wiggejoel said. I believe what the Bible says, amen. And he descended into hell. Somebody said, "Where is hell?" Well, somebody said it's 11 miles from here to the heart of the earth. And there it's a blazing ball. It's a blazing molten fire. And when he said that, he descended into hell. And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, that's where he went, where it's a blazing, bubbling, boiling fire. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. And when Jesus that day, I believe when he went to hell, he literally went to hell. I believe that Jesus literally went to hell. And I believe he died for me as literally as if no one ever lived but me. That's the way I believe it, amen. And then on the third morning, he got out of there, and those boys that had gone over to the Abraham's bosom side, he saw them. And he said, "Hey, fellas, I got some good news for you. Because 3 days from today, I'm going to rip that grave open, and I'm going to walk out. And I'm going to take you, and I'll take you up into paradise with me. So if Dr. Lakin ceases to breathe yonder at 12 o'clock today, he'll never have any moment of unconsciousness. The moment I leave here, I'll be present with him." That's enough, amen. So he said, "I suffered your pain," and he can reach over it. So it made him reach over the heavy embattments of heaven and pluck the thorn of suffering from the pillow of every sufferer in this world, as Jesus can. And then the other one was this, the cup of bereavement. A long time before anyone ever died at our house. My father died when he was 15 years younger than I am, with the same disease I have now. Somehow or the other, then my father died, and then my brother died at 49, and then my mother, and then my other brother. And of course, my own boy when he was 31. Yonder one night in Akron, Ohio, when my phone rang at 1 o'clock in the morning, and my pastor down in Florida said, "Something terrible happened here. Bill had a wreck, and it was fatal." He had said to my wife, "I'll call Dr. Lakin." And she said, "Well, he'll have to know it, but I'll have two to bury." And then she came on the telephone and told me, and I said, "Honey, you bring his body and meet me in West Virginia, and I'll meet you there for burial." She brought him, and I drove back to West Virginia and stayed for 2 days till she came. Then walked up there. She came, and as she came up the stairs, she said, "I can never be reconciled." I said, "Oh, yes. 35 years, I told people God's grace was sufficient. If it's not sufficient for us, it wasn't sufficient for them. It wasn't sufficient for them." And so we carried him up there and buried him on that little hillside underneath that oak tree where I could look out of a window and see his grave. But you know something? One morning while the dew was still on the grass, we walked up on the hill and stood there. And he stood there and said, "I know how you feel. I had a little family over in Bethany. I used to go and love to go and see Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And one day Lazarus got sick, and before I could get there, he died. And they put him in a tomb, and I went over there and stood and wept." And he stood beside every tomb and wept from that day until this. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He believed in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I put my arm around her and said, though I am the resurrection of the life, though he were dead, listen, yet shall he live. Listen, Mr. Modernist. Listen, Mr. Liberal. Listen, Mr. Liberalist. Don't take that hope away from me. Why? Because that hang a rainbow of hope around the shimmering shoulders of the dying storm of my bereavement. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Give me the last one. And that's the cup of death. Sooner or later, crepe's going to be on your doorknob. You say, Dr. Lakin, would you be afraid to die? No, I wouldn't be afraid to die. I've been to the water's edge three times and heard the waves lash against the boat. I wasn't scared. One time when I was 25 years old and had a major surgical operation, and for two days I was unconscious. My wife and with our little boy, who was then only 3 years old, stood around, and the doctor with the stethoscope on my chest and the other doctor standing about, and finally he looked up and said, gentlemen, this man is dead. And the next morning, they had my death notice in the paper, but I wasn't, really I wasn't. But let me tell you something. I said to my father a few days before he shoved off to heaven, I said, Dad, are you afraid to die? He said, no, I hate to leave your money and your mother and you children, but I'm not afraid to die. I said, what about the sting of death? He said, there is no sting of death for a Christian. For he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Mr. Cato said he went down in the meadow one day with his brother Cap, and he caught a big bald-headed bumblebee and got him down, performed a major surgical operation on him and cut off his stinger, got him by the wings and went around and dropped him in Cap's overalls. And he jumped and slapped himself, and I said, son, don't worry, he can't hurt you. I cut his stinger off. All that old bee could do was just buzz. When the time comes for me to go, there'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes, because all he can do is just buzz. He's already had his stinger cut off. My friend, do you have trouble? You have trials? You have tribulations? Lean upon him. For in the very heart of it, my God stood by me. And if he stands by you, nothing else matters. God bless you.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you. When your trials here on earth have come and gone, now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm, toe to toe, and eye to eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take Apostle's message still applies today, for there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word, I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary.
The church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. "Come, give me your hand," cried the merry world, "and walk with me this way." But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, "Nay. I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of endless death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me but a little space," said the world with a kindly air. "The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, and mine is broad and plain. My road is paved with flowers and gems, and yours with tears and pain. The sky above me is always blue. No want, no toil, I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot of woe. My path, you see, is a broad, fair path, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and for me to travel side by side." Half shyly, the church approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. The old world grasped it and walked along, saying in accents low, "Your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvet and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair." The church looked down at her plain white robes and then at the dazzling world and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. "I will change my dress for a costlier one," said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure garments drifted away and the world gave in their place beautiful satins and shiny silks and roses and gems and pearls, and over her forehead her bright hair fell, crest in a thousand curls. "Your house is too plain," said the proud old world. "I'll build you one like mine, carpets of Brussels and curtains of lace and furniture ever so fine." So he built her a costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold. And fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and his children were there. And laughter and music and feasts were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. She had cushioned pews for the rich and the great to sit in their pomp and their pride, while the poor folks, glad in their shabby suits, sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church and whispered, "I know thy sin." The church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off in the midnight ball, and some were off at the play, and some were drinking in gay saloons. So she quietly went her way. The sly world gallantly said to her, "Your children meant no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports." So she leaned on his proffered arm and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of deathless souls to the horrible pit were hurled. "Your preachers are all too old and plain," said the gay old world with a sneer. "They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain and the horrors of endless night. They talk of a place that should not be mentioned to ears polite. I will send you some of the better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast, who will tell them that people may live as they list and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful and great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the rest behind?" So he filled her house with gay divines, gifted and great and learned, and the plain old men that preached the cross were out of the pulpit turned. "You give too much to the poor," said the world, "far more than you ought to do. The poor need shelter and food and clothes. Why need it trouble you? Go, take your money and buy rich robes and horses and carriage fine, and pearls and jewels and dainty food and the rarest and costliest wine. My children, they dote on all such things, and if you their love could win, you must do as they do and walk in the ways that they are walking in." The church held tightly the strings of her purse and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, "I've given too much away. I'll do, sir, as you have said." So the poor returned from her door in scorn. And she heard not the orphan's cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside. As the widows went weeping by, the sons of the world and the sons of the church walked closely hand in heart, and only the Master, who knoweth all, could tell the two apart. Then the church sat down at her ease and said, "I am rich and in goods increased. I have need of nothing and not to do but to laugh and dance and feast." The sly world heard her and laughed in his sleeve and mockingly said aside, "The church is fallen, the beautiful church, and her shame is her boast and pride." The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name, and the saints their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. And a voice came down through the hush of heaven from him who sat on the throne, "I know thy works and how thou hast said, I am rich and hast not known, that thou art naked and poor and blind and wretched before my face. Therefore, from my presence I cast thee out and blot thy name from its place."
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Well, Brother Kane, I will just say that was one lengthy poem, but it was a blessed poem indeed. And Lord bless one of Ruth's relatives put that whole thing together by herself. But if I had to, in light of that poem, with all the bases to cover and that song, if I had to sum it all up in a nutshell, I would have to sum it up like this. And this is my answer. Be not dead. Be not lukewarm as Laodicea, but faithfully present your body a living sacrifice unto Christ Jesus, as unto a faithful Creator, God, or yea.
And are you sure that's your final answer?
Say that again, Tim.
Stop. Okay. I didn't hear the clip again. Let me hear the clip again. Yes, Kenita.
Well, Tim, still a foot on the old gas, so you are definitely in overdrive. When you mentioned there about the Church of Laodicea, yep, being in compromise, or the Church at Laodicea, either answer was the correct answer, so we'll take that one. Amen.
Praise God. By His grace, I still got my foot on the gas, if not in overdrive.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us, and then it shall fall away. Having war and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Seven trumpets sound.
God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world would be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that final glorious hour. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Lesson, United States of Europe. The Lord Mayor of Dublin, Robert Briscoe, while speaking at the World Affairs Council in Los Angeles, California in 1962, said, "I think there will be a central government agreed to so that the Federation Common Market Nations will be similar in structure to the United States of America." The partial fulfillment of this offhand prophecy of the Lord Mayor's began in 1958 when a group of six nations signed the Treaty of Rome. Those signing that treaty were West Germany, France, Italy, Luxembourg, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Over the years, as we have studied studiously, observing the decisive actions of those six nations, we find that the formation of the common market nations in Europe is doubtlessly one of the most far-reaching developments in modern economic history, as well as one of the most significant proceedings relative to fulfilled Bible prophecy since a remnant of the Jews started going back to Palestine in 1917. The Lord Mayor of Dublin predicted that within this generation, now we're going to Webster's New World Dictionary, generation is about 30 years, there will be a United States of Europe encompassing every nation from Ire to the end of the Mediterranean. A great many European leaders believe that day is not far off. Many European economic leaders anticipated that by 1980, a united Western Europe will have more manpower and industrial output than the United States of America. We have lived to see this come true. Now, from an economic as well as from a productive standpoint, We have every sufficient reason to believe that the Common Market Alliance will accomplish what has long seemed impossible in Europe. In 1970, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Denmark, and Norway were invited to join. All except Norway did so in 1972. The enlarged community of the nine formally came into existence in January 1st, 1973. Greece, in 1981, officially became a member of the Common Market Community, making 10 nations who are members. Others are lined up to become members, and some 57 countries of the earth are associated in the Common Market Global Trade Pact, which makes it the number one source of economic strength and dominant trading power in the world. What was once considered a starry-eyed dream is now in the final stages of becoming a living reality. Many students of the prophetic scriptures have confidently anticipated such an alliance for many years because the Bible speaks much about 10 nations, which are to rise to great industrial as well as military power in Europe in the last days. The Bible describes those 10 nations as the 10 toes of the great image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream and as the 10 horns on the great beast in Daniel's vision. Daniel chapter 7, KJV, and you got to read the whole Daniel chapter 7. The Bible says that the 10 nations are to be former members of the old Roman Empire territory, which was the fourth kingdom. That's Daniel 2. Verses 40 through 43. The scriptures tell us that in the last days, those 10 toes or 10 horns, which are 10 nations, are to be revised and reunited and placed under the satanic-inspired leadership of the Antichrist, who is to come upon the world scene near the end of the age. Please read carefully these two scriptures. Here's the first one. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, second coming of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away or apostasy first, and that man of sin, Antichrist, be revealed, makes his appearance. That's 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Here's the second reference. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These 10 kings have one mind, agree, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, the Antichrist. That's Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. Of course, in your King James Version Bible. Therefore, what we are seeing in Western Europe in the fantastic formation of the common market nations could very easily be the creation and bringing on the world scene the prophetic indicated group of 10 nations, which will eventually come up under the direct control of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who is to make his appearance in Europe near the end of this dispensation of grace, after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Why do I make such a startling statement? Well, here is the logical reasoning that has brought me to that practical conclusion. The nations that composed the old Roman Empire were England, France, Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg, Turkey, Greece, Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt. Of course, the Roman Empire was worldwide, but those 10 nations in Europe were a specific 10 who were under the absolute control of Rome during the Fourth Kingdom, as well as many others. Now, in the common market nation set up, we have France, Germany, Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Great Britain, Ireland, Denmark, and Greece. So, we see in the common market nations a loose alliance of the original old Roman Empire countries, and at this very moment, several other European nations are clamoring for admittance. The Bible reason for 10 nations in Europe coming into power in the last days is the Antichrist will also come on the world scene, and that satanic-inspired evil man will naturally need economic as well as military strength and support. From where will such economic support and military strength come? Well, here we're going to find out. Scripture, of the 10 horns, or 10 toes, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. Those 10 kings have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's, of course, now Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. Now, going to these verses of Scripture, tell us that 10 nations who may or may not be controlled by kings or prime ministers are going to agree among themselves, and they will do and decide to assist the Antichrist in his control of Europe, which, according to the Scriptures, will greatly increase to a worldwide control. Of course, now this is Revelation 13 and 5. When we historically study the 10 toes in the image, or on the image, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we see there were 10 nations in power at the time of Christ's birth and death. History records that the Roman Empire was ruling at that time, and those 10 nations consisted of 5 toes on the left foot of the image and 5 toes on the right foot, which were divided in 395 A.D. at the death of Theodosius I, with Constantinople becoming the capital of the eastern half and Rome the capital of the western half. Now, therefore, in revising the divided old Roman Empire, we must look for 10 nations to come together into a union, not closely cemented together into a rigid political framework of centralized government, but coming together in a temporary working agreement with each nation, keeping its individual identity, but when necessary, all 10 solidifying into a single working unit. Here's what the Bible has to say about that situation, which we now are see shaping so beautifully in Western Europe. Now, here's the scripture. And as the 10 toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men willing to have cooperation, understanding, and agreement. But they shall not cleave permanently one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Daniel 2, 42 and 43 of your King James Version Bible again. The coming back together of the common market nations was for the purpose of controlling tariffs in Europe, which in effect was to keep their countries from experiencing another depression. It has worked most successfully. Because of this alliance, Europe's millions are riding the crest of a wave of ever-increasing prosperity. Unknowing the two Europe's millions, this is according to the prophetic scriptures. How do we know that 10 nations in Europe are going to give their powerful support unto the Antichrist? Well, there must be a valid reason. There isn't some kind of explanation for what we see progressively developing in Europe. And the appearance of the Antichrist and the second of Christ are not as near as we hungrily anticipate. Bible says that in the final hours of the fulfillment of the prophecies relative to the Antichrist's appearance in Europe, God will put on ever-powering desire into hearts of the rulers of those 10 nations to be agreeably willing to give their power and strength unto the Antichrist. Now, Scripture, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, purpose, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, Antichrist, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17, 17. The verse of Scripture explains in an easy, simple manner that the Bible is true. and his prophecies will come to pass, even to the place that God will cause the leaders of the 10 nations will be kings, prime ministers, or presidents to unite together so they can swing the combined support of their 10-nation bloc toward the Antichrist. It's amazing how the scriptures are being fulfilled, even to the place that great national governments are changing century-long policies in order that the prophetic program might be on schedule. Countries in Europe who tore each other to pieces for centuries are now in harmony, both economically and politically. Regardless of what you and I might think about world conditions, if the prophetic plan for the culmination of this age is foretold in the Bible, then it will come to pass just as the scripture says it will. There's no other way. Daniel the prophet said, God removeth kings and setteth up kings. We're seeing a convincing demonstration of that power in Western Europe. Therefore, as we prophetically observe the shaping up the United States of Europe, we cannot help but believe that the historic moment for the mysterious appearance of the Antichrist is getting near, who, when he does appear, will spark the fulfillment of major prophecies in Europe in the closing days of this age. In the common market nations, we have seen a slow but sure formation of the 10 nations who, John says, will support the beast of Revelation when he comes into prominence. Therefore, the coming forth of the Antichrist, which is in conjunction with the formation of the 10 nations, will happen quite suddenly one of these days. Bible prophecies must come to pass, and the signs of our times are pointing to a soon fulfillment of major prophetic events in our lifetime. Isn't it amazing that a twofold work is now being laid in Europe for the fulfillment of great end-time Bible prophecies, which have to do with those 10 nations and the coming into power of the great satanic ruler who is known in Scripture as the beast, Antichrist. The Associated Press reports the United States is going to supply NATO, the 15-nation North Atlantic Treaty Organization, with atomic weapons as needed. This Associated Press report says, in part, the United States apparently has altered its approach to making NATO a nuclear power and is now ready to push the step and even supply its allies with a special new atomic weapon. The announcement continues by saying, research work is reported to have reached an advanced state on a new mobile middle-range nuclear rocket, specifically designed to fit NATO's needs in defense of Western Europe. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization was formed on April 4, 1949, and came effective August 24, 1949, to further the aims of peace by developing their individual and collective capacity to resist armed attack. Attack from whom? Russia. The headquarters for NATO organization is now in Brussels, Belgium. The United States wants to arm those NATO nations with atomic weapons. Here's further truth that we are waiting and nearing the end of this dispensation of grace, because within the framework of the NATO organization are also some of the 10 nations, even though they are in the common market setup, who will support the Antichrist with military weapons when he comes into power. The Bible identifies the 10 nations who are to be in existence at the time the Antichrist comes into power, as we have previously seen, by telling us that they are the 10 toes on the image, which Daniel had revealed to him in a vision. Please read Daniel 2, verses 36 to 45. Nine of the nations who are members of the NATO organization are also members of the 10 nations, which are to give their power and strength unto the Antichrist in the last days. Now, what does all this add up to? Number one, there is Russia, a great godless country of 235 million souls, overlorded by 10 million communist leaders. Russia is constantly posing a serious threat to the entire world's peace. Two, we have NATO, an organization in Europe organized to defend itself against Russian aggression. Number three, we have nine of the 10 nations outlined in the Nebuchadnezzar image, already in union with the NATO organization, and the Associated Press reports from Washington that the United States wants to arm them with atomic weapons. Number four, we're watching for the appearing of the Antichrist, and the NATO organization in Europe could very easily turn its undivided military strength over to the Antichrist when he appears. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes into power, the 10 nations are to come together and give unto him their power and strength. Please note the scripture says 10 nations will give their power and strength to things power, that's economic, strength, military, unto the Antichrist. Okay, now the scripture, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, agreed upon themselves, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. Now, the Antichrist is to be a man of war, and naturally these 10 nations will be associated with both the common market. Nations will possess an economic power as well as with the NATO organization, which has a military strength, and they will want to be on the winning side, so the Bible says. They will align themselves with the beast of Revelation and help to strengthen his already powerful forces. This will give the Antichrist a balance of economic power as well as the military strength in Europe, so he will very quickly become the world's outstanding ruling personality, and all over the world, the people will be asking this most discussed question. Scripture, who's like unto the beast, Antichrist? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4, who is there like the beast? Who can fight with him? This is the Greek text. Everything I told you so far is in the Bible. All I've done is locate its prophetic position relative to its ultimate fulfillment as outlined in the scriptures. As I said before, any great event of extensive worldwide significance must have a long and systematic buildup for it can come to its predetermined conclusion. Therefore, as we behold all the many facets of this international political and economic end time sign to the fulfillment of major Bible prophecies as divinely foreseen and recorded in Holy Scripture thousands of years ago, we are made to rejoice in the indisputable fact that God's word is true and in our day is coming to pass as foretold by the courageous prophets of old. Therefore, as we profoundly observe the frenzied nations of the European segments of the NATO countries and the common market countries in Western Europe, we are aware that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled and 10 nations in Europe will eventually give their power and strength unto the Antichrist. These prophetic activities unmistakably indicate the nearness of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Europe is getting all set for the final unfolding of significant prophetic drama. Already there is in Europe, in connection with the common market nations, a seven-judge court of justice which makes decisions in connection with the common market alliance, and they are under oath not to take orders from any national government. Europe is being tied up economically, politically, legally, and militarily, getting all set to hand that continent over to the Antichrist, lock, stock, and barrel. In the light of the astounding information, please read very prayerfully this one verse of scripture which Daniel, the prophet, wrote as he was held captive in Babylon 2,500 years ago. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Daniel was able to look down the annals of time, and with his perspective telescope, he foresaw the closing events of our day plainly outlined. Here's the climax as Daniel received his divine revelation. Here's the scripture. And in the days of these kings, 10 kings, the same kings who are the rulers of the 10 nations, who will give their acquiescence, economic and military, to the Antichrist, shall the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, set up a kingdom on earth which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's Daniel 2, verse 44. Now, the scriptures say, in the days of these 10 kings, meaning the nations who formerly comprised the old Roman Empire, when these 10 nations have given their support to Satan's Antichrist, then will come the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven and will take over and destroy those 10 nations He will set up his 1,000-year rule on the earth, absorbing all the nations of this earth into his earthly kingdom. Therefore, as we Christians continue to witness the constant growth of the common market countries from an economic standpoint and the NATO countries relative to military matters, we are seeing the formation of a United States of Europe. The Bible says this prophetic situation will exist in the last days. It's during this existence of these 10 nations, who are members of the old Roman Empire, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven and establish his millennial reign on the earth. Now here's the scripture. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2 and verse 44. This key verse of scripture is literally fulfilled at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, but approximately 7 years before that battle, Christ comes in the air, and we go to the judgment of our works and then to the marriage supper. In the meantime, let's remember that prophecy is pre-written history, but let's also be aware that we are instructed in Holy Scripture to watch. What are we seeing as we watch the signs of our times in the formation of the United States of Europe? Is a fulfillment of age-old prophetic scriptures. May God bless us as we await the shout in the heavens. It can't be delayed much longer. It may be soon. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now we go to the next lesson will be Gog, the land of Magog.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Sister Ruth, as we pull into the station, who do we got on board?
We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, somebody with a 216. If they want to speak, they can put the number 1, and we will let them talk. And then it's just me.
Okay. Well, caller 216, if you wish to speak, get any questions, comments, or what have you, just press the number 1. We'd be glad to hear from you. Any prayer requests, what have you, we'd be glad to hear from you. But we are glad that you have joined us, and wish you would join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday, for the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study right here at Six Eyes Radio Network. We are glad that you did join us. Well, so Sister Ruth, did you have any questions or comments?
I thought it was a very good show. I liked that one guy that was preaching, too. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was Dr. Lakin.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Very good message. I like all the songs you chose, too.
Very good message in light of with us coming up to Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, it's coming up next on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty cool.
All right. So, is our caller decided to press number 1?
No.
Okay, well, with that, Ruth, we'll let you give us a closing prayer, and we will say God bless and good night, but reminding everybody of the programs coming tomorrow. There is, of course, at 9 p.m. is, of course, Dr. Doug Quick on this station, Station 1. You call, of course, the 424-243-9617. At 9 p.m. for Dr. Doug Quick, and he'll be with us to preach a great gospel message. Amen. All right, Ruth, give us a closing prayer, and we'll say God bless and good night.
Well, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you to pray for any of the requests that they have with all those 200 or maybe 150 countries. And this lady or gentleman, it's with the 216 number. We'll pray for them, too. And, you know, any other prayer requests that are necessary. And also pray for Reverend Quick to preach tomorrow night. And pray for me, because I'm going to be going out taking care of some business tomorrow. And I'm not feeling very well, but I want to do this thing. So it's something personal. All right, so we love and praise your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Have a good night.
To love everyone.